Welcome.
Don't lick it, bite it.
Come on, bite it. Come on, bite it. Bite it, you idiot. Come on, Michael.
Welcome.
Get biting. Are you going to bite it or not?
Are you
going to
bite it?
No, I'm going to bite it. No, come on, Michael, bite it.
Welcome, the new boy.
Youngins Podcast. Previously on the Youngins Podcast.
Well, perhaps you should do all of our interviews with guests on roller coasters. Do you do different types of cat noises, incidentally, or is it just one cat noise that you do?
Not such, it's just a solitary mew.
We got a blind person walking in, Betty. Put the kettle on. Brew a massive cup of tea. The blind man's in tonight.
Oh, you've got a lot of hair on your stomach, Michael.
This is my teddy. He's called Boobies.
What am I going to do? It's so tickly shy.
Can you tell that things are, the part of your skin is being shed?
Yes.
Not.
He refuses to bite.
Baiting taking place.
It's the Youngins Podcast. 114 coming up this week. The youngins are getting a little bit shirty with each other. This week we've got some advice for anyone listening to the podcast who might be thinking about ending it all, but wants to do it in an unusual and novel way. We can help. I'm sure there's someone listening who fits that bill. I hope you don't do it, but if you do, you might as well do it and enjoy yourself and do something a little bit different as well. And possibly get yourself in the Guinness Book of Records. Gavin Davenport is back on the podcast. We'll play a track from his latest album and have a chat with him about music and phone apps. Last week, I played what I thought was probably the most cynically and cheaply produced football song in the world. This week, I attempt to make my millions and cash in on the song that I think will rival that. Subjects also covered in this week's Youngins Podcast include the Holiday Inn Express and nipples. And this week's pun selection is based around Wales, Jesus and Andrew Lloyd Webber. All that and more coming up on the 114th Youngins Podcast, which this week is entitled Couples for Christ. All, my friends, of course, will be revealed. Now, we have played this a couple of times already on the Youngins Podcast, so hopefully you're not bored of it. We're going to play a live version of Pique la Baleine, very shortly performed by the Youngins. So we're going to start with an introduction about the song from Peterborough, and then we're going to, after the song, we're going to segue into a little bit from our gig in London at the King's Place Theatre in London. So I'll be back in a few minutes. Enjoy this rollercoaster of a ride that I'm going to take you on from Peterborough to London. Or maybe that should be Petersburg. Anyway, if you weren't listening last week, that wouldn't make much sense to you. But never mind. You've got to, you know, the podcast is full of motifs and themes that will reoccur. And if you can't be bothered to listen to all the podcasts, then you're going to miss out on certain bits and pieces, all right? Little intricate things that play into the podcast. Over to you, Mr. Cooney.
It's called Pique à la Baleine, which unfortunately means kill the whale.
Maybe they won't join in.
It's not really. Well, it does mean that, but it's the subject of the song. The man singing doesn't want to be a whaleman. He wants to sail away and find his lost love at sea.
Well, it's that perpetual quandary, isn't it? The man has struggled with for millennia. You know, whale killing a love and. Now, please, no one video this, because the last thing we want is to be.
I think we're taking your clothes off.
No, no, it's just that you know that whale.
Bloody hell, whale!
You're a free willy, my friend. No one YouTube this, because the last thing you want is to be sort of have sort of campaign attacks from Greenpeace or anything like that.
That's not it, sir.
Right!
I'm too busy blubbing over it.
Look at Dave thinking of his next one. Look at him. Ha ha!
Poon.
I'm not even going to try.
Call me idiot.
What?
Yeah, it's not never mind.
It's not a whale joke, is it?
It's the first line of Moby Dick. No, call me Ishmael.
Call me Ishmael.
Try that idiot.
Mate, you're such a morbid dickie, aren't you? anyway.
You wonder why people think we're a bloody couple.
Talking of couples, there was a weird van. We saw this van, which said, it was advertising, and it said, emblazoned on the van, it said, couples for Christ. Is anyone aware? What the hell is that? Is that some weird dating agency? Couples? Or is it like a sacrificial kind of thing? Anyway.
You soon took the phone number down there, didn't you?
Yeah. Easily getting nailed, but anyway.
Jesus
erotica.
Let's see it. Matosame. Oh, me boy, la la.
So we can find out how it's gone a little bit later on. At the back, hang on, but Ben, her boyfriend, is at the front. So what's she doing at the back?
Maybe there's two French people, David. We are in London. We're not in the North East now, David.
Well, sorry, I'm not allowing this. I said one French person only. Get out! Unbelievable. We'll not stand for this.
Right. Let's talk to our French ticket interns. So the person at the front, French woman at the front, our French woman front correspondent, Elsa. Yes. Is that okay? Or how did you find that? What kind of area of France are you from, by the way?
Northeast.
Northeast. So how did it go from the Northeast France perspective?
That was brilliant.
That was brilliant.
Oh, you're very good.
The French woman at the back row. How did it go from the derrière?
Can only get worse.
Audience. How did it go? What?
Very good.
Oh, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Are you from a different part of France?
Yeah, south of France.
So that's the northeast and south covered. Excellent. So we can tick that off the list. Excellent.
Anyone from Greenpeace in?
It's not every day you get a song about whale killing and love. And personally, I think it's brilliant. Because I believe that one of those two things, ladies and gentlemen, I believe one of those two things is the most important and most beautiful thing on this planet. I won't tell you which one it is, but you better keep your pet whales away from me just in case. That's what I'm saying. Is it Mr. Lover Lover or Mr. Blubber Blubber?
Who was it who bought you the fourth pint?
Clips from Peterborough and London gigs there. And of course the song was Pique la Baleine, Spike the Whale,
Funny name for a whale. Oh, save us, Gavin Davenport. Save us on the phone. Folk singer, musician, member of the Albion Band and solo performer as well. Previous podcast guest with a new album called The Bone Orchard. On the phone, Mr. Gavin Davenport.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Mr. Davenport. How are you doing?
I'm very well, mate. I'm all right. I'm just trying to find somewhere to stand with like loads of background noise.
Oh, somewhere that's evocative. Is that what you want? Somewhere that's evocative?
No, it's the sound of motorbikes and all of the lovely sounds of waft in the evening.
The trouble is, now with modern phone technologies, I can't actually hear any of that sound. The technology is too
well,
good.
Well, there you go.
Have you heard of those apps that you can get where you can pretend that you're somewhere else, that you're not? I think it...
I've never thought of that.
Have you not? I think it does something like frazzles your location, so it says you're in a different location area than you are. And it also has like a sound effects option as well. So for instance, there's like, there's ones where you can say, I'm just on the train, and then you can have like the sound effect of a train running in the background, so you can pretend to people that you're actually on the train. And as well as that, it's got some ones like in busy traffic, so you can just say, oh, really can't talk to you right now, I've got him busy. So you can sort of drop those calls that you really don't want to, you know, to deal with.
That is genius.
So I think you should try and look for that kind of app. There's other ones as well. I think they do like the sound of howling wolves and stuff, so you can pretend that you're being
chased by
wolves.
I think there's a market to be tapped here. I think we could do the we're in a folk club, I'm sorry, all that kind of
thing. Yes, the folk club app.
In the background.
Where you just hear like a concertina or something like that, or someone drunkenly singing. Excellent. Yeah. Well, there is a market, and we actually, on the podcast this week, we're talking about untapped markets, because if you type in the name of a sort of a lower league football club into something like Spotify, there's only one, there's only like generally one or two tracks that come up. So for instance, if you type in Hartlepool United, there's only one track for Hartlepool United or Tranmere Rovers or something like that. And it's by this American group called Don't Kick the Baby. And basically all they've done is they've recorded this generic kind of American football song. And then they've just obviously copied and pasted them shouting the name of a football team. And they must be making I wonder how much money they're actually making. So what we've actually done on the podcast this week is we've created sort of the Young'uns alternative generic football anthem, and I'm hoping we're going to put it out on Spotify and iTunes and stuff, and we're hoping that we're kind of going to be able to be millionaires because of this, Gavin.
So, I'm looking forward to that, definitely.
Exactly, yes. And then we'll maybe move on to apps a little bit later on and start the Eagle Davenport Empire.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So I've been listening to your album. I've managed to listen to it in full now, The Bone Orchard. And I thought one song that really stood out because of the use of samples and stuff was from The Bone Orchard, which has got, I think it's got like the Elliots of Burtley and things like that, and Source Singers and things.
Yes, it's got all sorts of stuff. It's got Phil Tanner and May Bradley definitely on there, quite a few others as well.
So what's the inspiration behind it?
It's the title track on the record. And the title sort of sprang out of this weird phrase that I heard in a pub that I worked in Liverpool about the Bone Orchard, which is the slang name, quite common in the States and parts of the West Indies. It's like the slang name for the cemetery. And I quite liked it as a phrase, and it sort of stuck in my head that there was something quite positive about the idea that after people are dead, that something continues to grow and fruit. And it sort of summed up a lot of what I thought about traditional songs, really. So the song itself is kind of about, well, mainly that I've made my entire career by stealing material off dead people.
You're not better than William Harvey and Galen and that kind of people, just stealing dead corpses, really. It's just a step up from that, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's the musical equivalent.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I just thought there was something quite nice about the idea that when you learn a song, you're only learning it because someone else kept it going, and that you're never learning the pure version. It's always kind of, it's like the way I've sort of described it is it's got someone else's kind of grubby genetic fingerprints on it, and you take a little bit of them on when you sing it, and then hopefully when someone hears your version in the future, then they are hearing it through the filter of you. So even though people are sort of dead and gone, there's like a lingering part of their performance sort of sticks to the song.
Certainly.
Which is quite a weird idea, but that was my weird idea anyway, and that was the inspiration for the song and the album title. So I thought that it'd be quite nice to sort of flesh it out by having some samples of those singers who really influenced me.
I think it's absolutely brilliant. I mean, there's a lot of sort of great, there's a few groups who kind of do that. I mean, I'm thinking sort of Chumbawamba review sort of samples, and did you hear that modernised kind of remixed version of the folk ballads by something called Broadcaster? Did you ever hear that?
I didn't. I've heard a few sort of, there's some American versions of the same sort of thing. They did like, I think they're called Tangle Eye or something like that. They did like Alan Lomax field recordings, and they remixed them with like dance bits and you know, extra backing into support.
Yeah, it was kind of like that. And I mean, I actually liked it. You can see why it would really annoy some people, but it was kind of like dance versions of the folk ballads and stuff like that. And brilliant speech to you, Gavin. I'm going to let you go. What is a what's a pre-gig ritual for you? Do you have pre-gig rituals?
Well, normally it's Wetherspoons. There's a bit of an Albion Band habit of going to Wetherspoons. If I'm touring in the duo with Tom, it tends to be fish and chips, but Albion Band is almost always Wetherspoons.
So there you go. It kind of goes against that lovely folk ethos there. You know, popping a bit of McDonald's, bit of Wetherspoons. Excellent.
Yeah, it's classy stuff.
Homegrown. Excellent. Well, I'm sure we'll speak to you. We'll obviously speak over the summer, during the festivals and stuff, and maybe even, who knows? Who knows what hijinks we shall get up to and if the over festivals, Gavin. But great to speak to you again, my friend.
You too, mate.
From the album, The Bourne Orchard. This is From the Bourne Orchard.
Singer in mouldering silence is lain, yet forever the words of our forebears are wed to the fruits of the morning born out of one bed. Sing me your tale from the deep of your grave, the future to sweeten and memory to save, and our words will be mingled in breath will crave to be sung in the things we remember. The dead and the living in chorus link hand to re-echo the spectres who breathlessly stand at the threshold of autumn, where old names are heard impatiently testing the innocent word, where the breaths of the slumberers rise through the floor. May our lips form the words that were spoken before, in a lullaby hush or a clamorous roar. We shall sing of the things we remember.
They only sang the song of six gentlemen. There's only two of them that sang six. Both public houses and clubs and big houses where gentry lived. They generally had a gimmick of despair then. They had a comida, export actor. Mighty stroke the maids and love their entrance to last them all day long. Sing it fairly, fairly, love of wood at the end. Piece of broken
accents inherited, weathered by time, as the harbour and highway do season our rhyme. To lie side by side in the mould on the tongue, the old words and the cold words are sung. Cinnamon and ginger, nutmeg and cloves, the twist of the deadline under your nose. From the cold play of memory, melody grows when we sing of the things we remember. These songs I have taken, none was forgotten, not one forsaken, but kept on the lips like the name of a friend, from barroom to bedside, from birth to life's end. I have reached through the branches, their riches to gain, the fruit on our fingers and lips leaves its stain. While the law in the earth, our imprints remain, where we sang of the things we remember.
flaming in the silence, wouldn't it? So it's like, why? I don't know. But I wasn't there from somewhere.
Really. I think about it. It's a very old play, and you go out to the number, and I was going to say, hey, hello. And it's short of,
stabbed the old dope and it rolled over, dead.
And award yourself 100 Youngins podcast points if you are able to identify all of the samples in that song. Feel free to send us an email and we'll send you something. I mean, you might not like it, but that's the risk you take. Well, we've arrived at the Holiday Inn Express in Newport, Wales. I'm just wondering why particularly an express, like why, how does the Holiday Inn Express differ to the Holiday Inn? Because you don't associate, I don't think you associate accommodation with express. It doesn't seem, the two things don't really seem to go hand in hand. Like, you know, express travel suggests that it's going to get there faster. But what does Holiday Inn Express mean? Does that suggest that everything is quicker? The service is quicker? Like, perhaps all the waiters and the staff have been given performance-enhancing drugs so they can serve you a lot quicker? Or does it mean that you have to do everything faster so that you have to sleep faster? You know, you have to have a quicker sleep. You kind of get, oh, sorry, sir, you can only sleep for 4 hours in here. This is the Holiday Inn Express. Oh, bloody hell. No, I'm not doing this again. I'm going to go to the Holiday Inn next time. In fact, actually, giving weight to my point there about having to do things quickly is the fact that in the lift is the breakfast menu. And it's quite an extensive menu. Obviously, you've got your different choices, your grapefruits and your cereals and your porridge and your cooked breakfast with all the different options and that kind of thing, and the continental. So it's quite a big menu. So having the menu in the lift, and the lift's pretty quick. It's an express lift, obviously. Surely that means that you've only got, I mean, literally, it would take you about 2 or 3 minutes to read the menu. But the lift, at the very most, you're going to spend probably about 20, 30 seconds in the lift. So there's not enough time to read the menu, but it's pinned to the wall on the lift. So when you do, yes! Having the menu in the lift is common.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, hang on a minute. Well, I think this says, Sean, this says something about wider society then. I'm a social commentator these days, apparently, according to Sean. It's not just about, it doesn't just happen in the whole. My naivety. No, I just think it's a bit of a strange thing, because how are you meant to read it? If you wanted to read it, like, oh, bloody hell, I'm only at the cereal, but I'm interested in the cooked breakfast, I'll have to go down to floor 2 again, and then go back up to floor 3. It's ridiculous. Anyway, the Holiday Inn Express, to get to there, we had to pass, just next to the Holiday Inn Express, a place called St. Melon's. So there must be a St. Melon. I think I can find a St. Melonius on the internet. I found a St. Melonius. When I say on the internet, I don't mean I found his Facebook page.
Yeah, but that's like, you wouldn't abbreviate a
saint,
though, would you? You wouldn't say, like,
no.
Safeguards. I don't know which one it was, but there's a story in, like, medieval times. There was a pope who died, and the reason they gave was that because he ate 5 melons.
5 melons, or consecutively. Excellent. We should do that, the Youngins Challenge. We see if we can survive the pope. I think if you are going to, sort of thinking maybe when you're listening to this, and I can understand why if you're listening to this, you might be suicidal. Perhaps, you know, have a bit of fun with it. Don't just kill yourself. Try, like, sort of interesting, radical ways of doing it. So, for instance, think, I'm going to try and beat the Pope's record. So, then listen to this, why this is such a good idea. So you're thinking of killing yourself. So chances are, if you eat 6 melons, you might die, okay? If you do die, then at least you'll enjoy the melons. At least you'll enjoy the first 2 melons, right? But the other thing is, if you don't die and you've eaten 6 melons, then you get yourself in the Guinness Book of Records. You could be famous. That could give you a whole new lease of life. You know, this could set your life in a completely new direction. Absolutely perfect. So there you are. Advice to people who want to kill themselves on the Youngins podcast. These express taps, my goodness, I've just turned it on. I just nearly got covered. The water comes out much faster with an express Holiday Inn tap. There you go. And if you want some extra learning, ladies and gentlemen, you could, of course, research St. Melon. Sean said he didn't get his name shortened, but actually he did. If it's the same one I'm thinking of, St. Melon was also called St. Melonius. I think it was called St. Melanes or something. He had all sorts of different names. In fact, there was about 5 different names that he was known as. Goodness knows why he had so many names. There you go. And we might try that. As I said, the Youngins could probably shouldn't try it, actually. How many melons can the Youngins eat? We could try it on stage. It'd be an interesting experiment. It'll certainly beat Channel 4's drug programme. We're going to take Ecstasy live on Channel 4 right now. Well, you thought that was sensational. What about when the young'uns eat 5 consecutive lemon... not lemons. No, that wouldn't be as interesting. Maybe we'd start with lemons and then move on to melons. Oh, we've managed to eat 5 lemons, but join us next week when we move on to melons. We could go up the fruit scale. Keep people keen. Start off with tangerines, move on to apples, lemons, and then eventually we move on to melons. That's the big series ender. It would have to be, because would we survive it? Anyway, something to maybe look forward to in the future. Probably won't happen, but you never know. If there's any commissioners listening to this, maybe think about it. We could have a grocer to sponsor it. It could be a commercial feature. We could have a greengrocer who sponsors the feature. As I mentioned last week on the Young'uns podcast, we are going professional, as in we are leaving our full-time jobs and we're going to spend more time doing freelance work and the music, the Young'uns. I think it's safe to say that as time goes on, we're probably going to get more and more peeved with each other, you know, we're going to get irritated with each other. And I remember a couple of summers ago, I think we were starting to get a little bit, we did something like 15 festivals or something over the summer, we were starting to rile each other. But then there's been situations where we've had sort of little arguments on stage, but nothing really full-on particularly, just like sort of little contretemps, but hopefully comedic contretemps. Comedic contretemps. That's a good bit of alliteration. But there was a situation a while back at a gig where we were having an argument with each other, and we sort of did like this pretend little fight. Like I sort of lunged towards Sean and Sean lunged towards me, and it was perfectly synchronised. And it was just a little bit of a joke. But someone jumped up from the front and of the thing sort of advanced towards us. I'm like, oh, it's all right, lads. It's all right. Calm down. Trying to break us up. So here's an example of hopefully a comedic contretemps. But as time goes on, they'll stop becoming comedic and they'll literally just become brutal. But anyway, for now, it's hopefully comedic. And it starts with Mr. Cooney making aspersions upon my attire.
You see the David Eagle fan clubs, and the word got around that he was wearing lumberjack shirts in the weekend, and everyone's got one of you on me.
As I've said this before, everything that I wear is ridiculous.
Everything.
It doesn't matter what it is. If I wear black, it's...
Oh, we're going to a funeral, are we, David?
Wear the plainest clothes, I get
ridiculous. Yeah, that joke's afternoon, dude.
Do that, tell the same joke, and then when I repeat the thing that I said afterwards, you say, oh, it's the same one as well.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Oh, did you develop it, did you? It took it to another level, did you? You noticed how the joke developed there from the afternoon to the evening.
Yeah, because people are wearing shirts, he was wearing shirts.
Can I just say something?
Oh, brilliant.
Well, I'm wearing you might have been about to develop the joke further if you hadn't interrupted. I'm going to take it on to
a new one.
We'll be in Sheffield again in 3 months' time, see how the joke develops. My goodness, there'll be a whole musical. We'll have a song about it, there'll be a ballad. Right. What do you fancy doing then?
I don't know, just sing.
I did it again. I've done it again. Where have I put it this
time? Have you lost your bottle?
I've lost my bottle again.
I wonder what's happened to your bottle.
Have you stolen it?
Well, you should call me an idiot.
You bloody idiot! Yes,
how much do you want this bottle?
Just
you
two have obviously stole the show, because now we're playing Taunt the Blind Man.
Call me an idiot.
So there you are. That's why at the introduction I said the young'uns are getting a bit shirty with each other, because it has a double meaning, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yes. You don't just think this thing's thrown together, do you? Do you? It's hopefully cleverly interwoven. Well, we'll be back with some more clips from gigs in a few minutes, but first, it's time to reveal my football anthem, my football song. Now, last week on the podcast, I played a football song that, basically what they'd done is they'd created this football song, then they just must have copied and pasted in the various team names. I found this on Spotify when I typed in the word Hartlepool, and it came up with Don't Kick the Baby, Get the Goal, Hartlepool United. But I thought there's something a bit weird about this song, because it was using all sorts of terms and phrases that aren't really used in English football, and it was done by Americans. We're going to break away from a set play, and I was saying, I've not really heard that much in English football, set play. Score zone, they were using the word score zone. overtime rather than extra time. So they were using all sorts of terminology that isn't really used that much in English football. So I thought, well, they're not very passionate about football if they think that. Then they were calling Hartlepool United the Hartlepool United, and then I worked out what it was, because when you look at the artist profile on Spotify, I saw that they'd basically done the same song, but copied and pasted each team name over the top. So instead of the Hartlepool United, there was a one for the Birmingham City FC. There was a one for every single league, not only in England, but also throughout the world as well, including the Australian leagues. And the other weird thing about this was they also got some of the team names wrong. Basically, they got all the teams, they got most of the team names wrong. They were putting "thes" and "team" before and after them, which is not right. But also, they called Derby County the Derby Country Team, which obviously is completely wrong. And then my favourite was Peterborough United, they called the Petersburg United. They were getting a lot of names wrong, so I thought, I can do better than this. I'm going to produce a football song that can be the name can be copied and pasted depending on which team it is, and it can be sold on Spotify and iTunes, and whichever football club you support, you can just click on that one, and I can make millions here. So I can beat this. I can produce a song that's even more cynically and cheaply produced than that football song, and I can make my millions with this. So I'm going to reveal it now on the Young'uns podcast. This is my football song. The artist, I've decided, because I was going to call it the Young'uns, I was going to say it was a Young'uns song, but then I thought the record label might not be too happy about the fact that we're kind of, every single time you type in the Young'uns into iTunes or Spotify or something, it comes up with 300 football songs, all with just exactly the same, just with different team names over the top. The artists, I think I'm going to call the group the Ball Kickers. Okay, so they were the group were called Don't Kick the Baby. I'm going to call this group the Ball Kickers, and the song is called The Greatest Team in the World, and then in brackets you've got the name of the team, whoever it might be. Well, in this case, because we started with Hartlepool United, I'm going to do that on this occasion. So I'm going to play you the Hartlepool United version. I mean, to be honest, all the other versions are exactly the same. They've just got the other teams pasted in. Before we quickly do it, let me just briefly explain that this took me about 2 hours to make, so I think I've probably rivaled the other one. I think it probably took a bit longer than 2 hours, so I literally have spent 2 hours recording a football song. This is what I came up with. So it's called The Greatest Team on Earth, The Ball Kickers, and we're going to play the Hartlepool United version. Here we go.
Yeah! Come on! Come on, boys! Kick the ball! Don't quibble, just dribble and get it in the goal. Cause we are the team that is the best. We are the team that's better than the rest. We're always winning.
The Hartlepool United.
That's why we're singing.
The Hartlepool United.
Home and away, we know how to play every game. Supported you since birth.
We're Hartlepool United.
The greatest team on earth is
the Hartlepool United.
Hear the crowd roar as we score, 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 then score some more. We declare war, cause we are the greatest soccer team in the world, and we go by the name of
the Hartlepool United.
Yeah, that's right. Gather round, we're all here at the soccer ground. Our midfielders, our quarterbacks, our strikers too. They all know just what to do. We keep on scoring, we're
the Hartlepool United.
Our play is never boring, we're
the Hartlepool United.
We are the team that'll make you scream, in a good way, we mean.
The Hartlepool United.
The fans are always dancing.
The Hartlepool United.
Win, win, win. The goals keep coming in. That's why we always sing. We are the greatest soccer team in the world. And
and we go by the name of
the Hartle Duel United.
We are the greatest soccer team in the world, and we go by the name of
the Hartle Duel United.
We are the greatest soccer team in the world, and we go by the name of
the Hartle Duel United.
We are the greatest soccer team in the world, and we go by the name of
the Middlesbrough FC.
What?
The Birmingham City team.
No, no,
the Derby
there's
country
something wrong
team
with the machine.
Petersburg
we're
going to
get rumbled.
United.
We're going to get
Petersburg
found out. Quick,
United.
Stop the tape.
Petersburg
stop the
United.
Tape.
There you go. That is my football anthem, ladies and gentlemen. My generic, cheaply, cynically produced football anthem. I think that's probably going to rival it. We've got more. We've called them a soccer team for a start. You know, we haven't even, I haven't even bothered to say the actual name of the football team. I just got a voice synthesizer to say it. There you are. So I think I'm rivaled them. Don't kick the baby next year. If they put out another football song, they're going to be annoyed. They just probably think we can just put any old drivel out there. Well, not anymore, because I think it's going to be, let's just have a look at how much money we've made. What? It's not out yet, because I've obviously got to wait until the playoffs have happened, and then I'll release it on Spotify and iTunes and Napster. Then please do buy it. It won't cost you very much. I mean, what, it's like 79 pence on iTunes? You might as well just buy it. Don't even bother streaming it. Yeah, stream it and buy it, but buy the full thing. 79. There's not going to be no physical copies. I'm not going to have any pressed. Oh, but we want to see the artwork, David. Come on, get the... No, it's so cynically produced. I think we do need an image, though. So I need advice on, like, the image and stuff like that. Maybe I could just have me stood there with a ball. Just a picture of a football. Just something really, really cheap. That's what we need. We need it to look as cheap and as cynically produced as possible. And we just want to see how much money it can make. So there you go. So I'll let you know more about that over the next month or two on the podcast. Okay, so I gave Mr. Cooney a mission because I talked about the Holiday Inn Express and the lift menu. And I was thinking, how can you possibly read the entire menu? I was wrong, by the way. I said it was the breakfast menu. It wasn't the breakfast menu. It was the entire menu. It was breakfast and it was like the main meals as well, like all with all the starters and the mains and the desserts. So, and my point was, how can you possibly read that in the lift? It only takes about 10 seconds to get to a floor, so you've got no chance of actually reading it. You have to keep going up and down in the lift, up and down, up and down. It's pointless. Well, do you want to be out here, mate? Well, yeah, I do, but I just want to read the rest of this menu, if that's all right. I'll just go down again and up again. Well, bloody hell, can you open the door? I'm trying to get out here. I'm only up to the grapefruit juice, mate. I'm a slow reader. Well, let me out. I'll take the stairs. This is ridiculous. So I gave Mr. Cooney the mission of trying to read the menu, as much of the menu as he could, while we took a standard journey in the lift. We went from ground floor to top floor, so there's about three or four floors there. And this is what happened. Exciting stuff. Let's find out how he does.
Right, Mr. Cooney, your mission is to try and read the lift menu the space that we're going to sit the lift. Go.
Starters, hardy soup, your trusted tomato, basil, or pork and leek soup, served with the rustic bread roll, 477.
Didn't help.
Potato skins, $4.95, topped with cheese and served with the sour cream dipped in tomato sauce, a vegetable. Mains, chicken and trees, or pesto alfredo, penne pomade pasta.
We're here? That's ridiculous. You see, you cannot do it. We'd probably have to make... How much was there on the menu?
I could have glanced it.
Yeah, but, come on.
Time of glance, right?
Time of glance.
I'm looking at the minutes. Yeah. You count in your head. One, two, three, go.
The doors are closing.
Kids don't know
how
to count in their head when they're six.
Wait.
Let's try it again.
What? Hang on.
One, two, three, count in your head.
When? You haven't said it yet? Now.
Yeah. Don't. I'm saying it up. There we go.
Now the doors. We're going back down. Hang on. There's no way you've glanced at the menu.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Sean, you couldn't even read it. How have you glanced? Oh, come in.
We're going up. Sorry.
We're going up.
We'll take it.
We'll
down.
Take it down. We're just here.
Hello.
Would you like us to read the menu while you're on it? Are you off out tonight?
We're just going to the pub next door.
Oh, we've just been there. Very good.
The Dragon.
We're going up?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's lovely.
We appear to be going up, Sean.
Oh, sorry, we've turned you on.
Well, that's
you,
sorry.
You've
that's
got your button
you
was pressed there.
Here.
Yeah, thank you.
No sorry about that. Thank you. My goodness. So there we are. So they were very confused.
Have we got anything else that we need to cover? Oh, yes, of course, nipples. We haven't talked about nipples yet. Because we're doing a weekly basis, I haven't got as much time to plan the podcast. So I'm literally just, like, labelling things really quickly. So I've just called this 114 nipples. Which is like, it means obviously because it's the 114th Youngins podcast. But if I die, and anyone, maybe eat too many melons, if I die and someone's looking at my computer going, and the 114th podcast hasn't actually been released yet, and they're just going, I wonder what files he has on the computer. Maybe just get the files off there just in case there's anything important. 114 nipples? What the hell's this? Is this, I'm going to, you know, thinking, oh, I'm going to have a drink before I look at that photo. Anyway, this is called 114 nipples.
For the bread that you eat. And the biscuits you nibble, and the sweets that you suck, and the joints that you cut, they are brought to you daily by all us besteemers. And if anyone should hinder our coming, you will
Thank you very much.
There's two things about that song.
No, you did there, what? David. When you said nipple, you put your nipples out.
I know it's not nipple.
The biscuits, your nipple.
What did I do for suck? There's two things about that song, my guy. I've just noticed. Firstly, you go very southern when you do it. Like, it's the only song that you really go southern. It's like you're channeling Peter Bellamy. But the second thing is, I stood next to you there and you were like moving around like this, sort of nudging me out of the way. And then you're saying, don't stand so close to me, or you
will. Yeah, I was pushing you further and further towards that fire exit.
It was as if this man here had said, oh, I'd love a bit of David, you know, you're like pushing him further. No, sir.
Not like it.
All right.
And you wonder why people think we're gay.
Yeah.
Don't
you do nothing else
as death?
No, I don't think so.
That was the Vita.
Yeah.
A Vita?
We won't do that. Not the request, Maris, are they? Don't cry for me, Argentina. Why not? If you'll all join in. The songs and the musicals.
Yeah.
We do. Good. Well, if you do want a song from the musical, let us know in advance. You know, warn us via the World Wide Webber.
Way down south.
We have our own little chord, by the way. In case you're wondering what the heck that was.
Way down south where the cocks do crow.
I won't stick anything out for cocks do crow.
Way down south where the cocks do crow. Way down in the light.
Well, there we are. That's the end of the podcast. So thank you very much for listening. There's nothing to say, really. I'll be back next week for the 115th Youngins Podcast, where our guests are Jossian Clark and Ben Walker. And we've also got some covert recordings as well. Some recordings that I've accidentally made. We've done some inadvertent spying. I'll reveal what the heck I'm talking about next week on the 115th Youngins Podcast. In the meantime, till next week, don't do anything stupid now. Don't eat too many melons, all right? Till next week, my friends. Goodbye.
Thanks ever so much again. We'll leave you with this. We've still got a few CDs available, and if you want to sign up to our mailing list and find out when we're next in the area, and also we're planning something in the winter. We're looking to hire a big bunkhouse or a youth hostel and invite people to a weekend with us.
Carol, you can get your revenge on us.
My name is top of the list.
Yeah. Would you spend a weekend in the woods with us?
would you spend a week in the woods with me?
Not even 20 minutes. There's going to be more information about it. You get all your food included. Someone else will cook it.
It's still not worth it.
It's a vegan only menu.
Whale meat again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It's incredible. 1.5 hours with David Eagle. Look what you've turned into.
So I think we'll do one final chorus song. And, yeah. So please join us for this. Let's see if we can.
So we'll do. See if we can what?
Raise the roof.
I'm trying to raise the roof.
Oh,
have you got insurance this place? yeah, we'll do that. So we'll do John Ball, shall we?
Oh, yes.
Sing John Ball. Do we need to go through the chorus?
No.
Nope. No? All right, okay.
Let's do it twice.
Well, we'll be. Oh, exactly.
Oh, that
is that good enough for you all?
That'll do. This is the mating call.
I've done it again.
He's frightened down here. Someone's nibbles have just... anyway.
It's a drink bar just out of the
Should I buy the golf buggy?
Yeah. Room for one more, Carol. Right. Do you sit?
I was going to say I'll sleep on the drain pipe.
Is that a euphemism?
Diddy's hoping so. Yeah. So thank you. Well, that was our encore. Thank you very much, everyone.